this gives you an idea of the openness of the meadows and the nature of the trail itself, as you see these beautiful slopes with the mountains and snow in the background. And at your feet are beautiful flowers, this instance the paintbrush, which is always colorful and beautiful in the high alpine meadow area. This is the mountain we came to see, Glacier Peak. Notice that it's completely covered with snow and ice, and there are glaciers existing on it on all sides, and its name of course comes from complete coverage of the upper area by glaciers. Now, this is another of the series of alpine flowers that you can see along the way. And this meadow shows you the extent of these alpine meadows that you can see at the upper level here as you go in the direction of Glacier Peak. Glacier Peak has an interesting shape. You'll notice that it comes up to a point and down again. This is the characteristic shape of a volcanic cone, and Glacier Peak is a volcanic cone, and it's higher than the general level of the mountains in the area, which would be at about this level. About 9,500 is about as high as any of the other peaks go, but Glacier Peak rises to over 10,500 feet. And for that reason, the course has much more ice and snow on it, and you can see very sharply the timberline level here. It's very dense forest until you come right up to the line of permanent snow and ice here, and then above that is just a sequence of snow fields and glaciers all the way to the top. Now, if you look in the other direction from where the last picture was taken, this is at the lookout just beyond Image Lake, and you can see again the point that I have made, that the upper levels of the other mountains in the area are all at essentially the same elevation, except Glacier Peak, which rises about 1,500 feet above the general level. Now, we stop at Image Lake, and this is the shelter at Image Lake. Those of you who may wish to make this hike, it's roughly 18 miles from here to Image Lake and to the lookout just beyond where I took the last picture. So it's roughly a round trip of 40 miles, and you should allow at least two nights out for this. And many people stop at Lyman Lake for the first night, then leave their packs and make the trek of about 20 miles, 10 miles up to this point, and then back to Lyman Lake the same day, and then camp overnight and come back down. Well, the reason you go to Image Lake is to see what's across Image Lake, and this is Glacier Peak. And if you stay all night at this point, the water is very frequently very clear in the morning, and you can get a perfect reflection. During the day, you seldom can get a perfect reflection, but those who have stayed overnight will find that they're able to do it. Now, as we leave and start back the trail, back to Holden Village, we cross again these beautiful meadows and see the mountain scenery all around us as we start back in the direction of Cloudy Pass. This gives you an idea again of the slopes and the flowers that cover them. We're back now to Cloudy Pass, and we'll come back into Railroad Creek Canyon. And I want to pause here again to tell you something a little more about this valley. You notice the beautiful U shape of the valley. Now let's examine a little closer the rock that we're walking over, because in geology, the whole story must be told by the rocks themselves. So as we look at the things that are observable today, we can see that as we look across the valley here in the shadow of this mountain slope, still exists, a glacier. And there's a glacier right in here that's moving out in this direction. You can see immediately in front of it a big pile of rock. Now this big pile of unsorted rock material is called a moraine. And this is a moraine that's forming today and is one that you can walk right up to and examine. And the same kind of thing happened in the past when our area was intensively glaciated. Now let's look at the trail we're walking along here in the canyon, Railroad Creek Canyon. Notice the left, lower left of the picture here is a rock surface. It's completely polished off. And in many cases, these surfaces are so smooth that they're hard to stand on if they happen to be at a rather high angle. Now let's look a little closer and you can see the rock surface here. And if we look down, well, I wanted to show you this in a little more detail. Let me call attention to the scratches that are parallel to the path along which we're walking here. And you can see this kind of striae and scratches produced by the rocks being moved across it. And I'll show you in the next picture then the debris that's left down here across from us in the vicinity of the mine, just across Railroad Creek. This is a deposit of glacial material. Notice that it's completely unsorted, but the rocks of this kind were frozen in the ice and served as a big sanding block or a rasping type of erosion and abrasion that rubbed against the rock walls of the canyons and the valley bottom. Here's a big boulder that's partly smoothened off by this kind of abrasion where it was rubbed against the rock. Here is a detail now of the kind of thing you can see in many places in the Cascades. The rock is inclined in the almost in the vertical position here, but you'll notice the scratches go right across it and they parallel the bottom of the valley. And here's, for example, one right along the head of my hammer here. It shows where a big rock was simply gouging into the rock floor here of the valley. And it's this kind of evidence that tells us that the ice occupied these big valleys clear up to the upper points up here. Because if you were to hike up here along these slopes, you would find those same kinds of scratches on the valley walls up high above the present level where you're walking at the bottom of the canyon. The picture on the screen now is of Copper Basin. And Copper Basin lies between Buckskin Mountain here and Copper Mountain on the right. And this very prominent U-shaped canyon again is a hanging valley. It comes down, you see, into the valley of Railroad Creek. And this valley again has a drop, and there's a very prominent waterfalls here and a cascade. So that the Cascade Range was named for the great number of cascading streams that enter these valleys. Now let's go up to Copper Basin and look at the basin itself. This is a view in Copper Basin. You notice the very precipitous rock wall and all of the loose rock that lies here in the foreground. Let's look further at the detail of this material. Here you see a picture showing the kind of material that was at the bottom of the glacier when it melted out. Look at the tool the ice had to work with as it pushed down the valley. And there was plenty of very angular, hard material here to grind away at the bottoms of the canyon and the canyon side. All of these rocks are very crystalline rocks. All of them are harder than steel. And they were very effective erosion agents when they were incorporated in the ice and moved down the valley. You can see different kinds of rock here. Granite, gneisses, and schists, and various kinds of recrystallized rocks. All of them very hard and very effective agents of erosion. Now, in Copper Basin itself, the surface is relatively flat again, a nice big meadow, and the stream meanders across it leisurely, and then it drops off into Railroad Creek Canyon. The trail is not good up to Copper Basin now, and I would not recommend that you try to make it. And that's one of the reasons I'm showing you a sequence of pictures from there. Now, this is one of the lakes that you can visit. This is Holden Lake. And many of you have been or will be up to Holden Lake. And in the early spring, it's of course frozen over even until in June, well into June. And you can see the view of Holden Lake from there. This picture will show you now another perspective from Copper Basin, and I wanted to show you Martin Ridge, which is here. And Holden Lake now lies just beyond this point and down below. And we're back in the mountains now, in a, what is known as a cirque. And this cirque is shown very well by this picture, which has a very precipitous wall, and the lake then simply fills up a hole which the ice gouged out when it filled this whole amphitheater or cirque. This is sometimes called a tarn lake. And above the present Holden Lake, you can see the remnants of a glacier up here. And the cascading streams that you see coming down over the edge make a beautiful setting for this particular lake. As you get up above it and look back, you can also see the mountain, Copper Mountain here in the background, framed across the across Holden Lake. Early in the morning, this is the view that you have. The colors are rosy, and it's a good time to fish. It's a good place to stay overnight. Let's look again at what was left at the bottom of the glacier when it melted out here at Holden Lake. Look at the rocks in the foreground. Some of these are big as a half a house. And as you scramble over them, you appreciate the size of them. These are the tools of glacial erosion. And you can see the remnants of the glacier that still exists up above it. And this was what was left as the ice left this upper valley. Now we can look across all of this rock debris and the lake that was produced by that kind of action, and then look beyond at Buckskin Mountain in this case as we look down the valley. This is another lake formed in a very similar way by glacial action, but it's a lake, again, where you would not be able to get to by trail. This is Dole Lake, the upper Dole Lake. There are two of them, and across the ridge here you see the mountains of Riddle Peak, which would be on our left as we go down in the direction of Lake Chelan from here. These lakes are up about 6,500 feet, or more than 3,000 feet above where you are now, and there is no trail to them, so it's a hard scramble to get up there. This is the upper lake of these two. And again, you can see this very precipitous wall and the glacial action. If you look across, as we come down far enough to see across to the peaks on the other side of the valley, these are Riddle Peaks. And you can see the permanent snow over on the other side. Now, let's start on an overnight hike with a group of our volunteer workers here at Holden Village. And this group was a party that I went with last summer, in the latter part of the summer. We're now just above Lake Chelan and looking across Lake Chelan, and we're headed in the direction of Dompkey Lake. And this is the campground, one of the campsites at Dompkey Lake. And some of you have been there within the last couple of days, and others are planning trips I would strongly recommend that you go, and this will be one of the real choice sites and a good place to fish again. All rainbow trout in this area, and it's stocked about once every 5 years, and it's natural propagation. These are wonderful fish, and you'll find them sometimes hungry, but not always. But they're always good when you get them in the frying pan, and this is evidence of that. If you wish to swim at Dompke Lake, there's a sand beach right in front of us here where you can either fish or swim, or do both, alternately. Now, let's come back into Railroad Canyon and take a further look at some of the peaks nearby. And we've talked about the valleys. Let's talk now about the sharp points, the peaks. Notice that here's a sort of a basin area again, an amphitheater type of cirque that is gnawing away at this point and this ridge and producing very sharp ridges and very sharp points simply by the ice pouring away at the rock on the back side and sharpening up these peaks. You can see here again the same effect. If you look early in the spring before all the snow melts out, a whole series of glacial cirques and catchment areas where the ice moved from the mountain and quarried the rock away and sharpened up the peaks themselves. This peak is Buckskin Mountain here, and I'm going to take you on a trip with these gentlemen, and we're going to the top of this point and show you the scenes from there. So our next view is on top of Buckskin Peak. And our business manager, Warner Jansen, is here at the crest. He's just placed the flag here, you see, and as evidence that we were there. And people can watch by good binoculars and see when people get to the top of this point on Buckskin Mountain. Now, let's look down from here and see what Holden Village looks like. Well, here you see the mine tailings. They're easily recognizable. These are the lodges and the chalets and the chalet circle up in here. Over in here you see the scar of the old mining village where over 100 families lived during the operation of the mine and now is abandoned and gradually growing over and will be all green before too long, we hope. The main mine area is right over to the left here where the pointer is showing. And the mountain in the background, of course, is Martin Ridge. And you remember we went to Holden Lake beyond this point, which is just down in this notch on the back side of Martin Ridge. It's a very prominent ridge and shows beautifully, of course, from the top of Buckskin Mountain. Bonanza Peak, now you get in full view. Now here's the glacier directly above Holden Lake, which lies in this amphitheater here. You can see Hart Falls at the bottom of Railroad Creek Canyon here, and right back of that would be Hart Lake. This is North Star Mountain, and back in this direction would be Cloudy Pass. So, one of the reasons one climbs to a high point like this is for the view that you can get. Now, if you are a real mountaineer and want to go beyond, this is the kind of terrain that you continue over. Now, if you want to go to the top, why, this is the kind of work you have to do to get there. And goes without saying, we turned around and came back. We didn't go beyond this point, although it would have been fun. One of the difficulties in mountaineering in the Cascades is that this upper level often has a lot of very loose and rotten rock. And that goes back to the story and to the period of time when this was an old erosion surface, and it was deeply weathered before the canyons were cut into it. And for that reason, many of the divides and high points are not good from the point of view of being fresh rock, which makes good climbing. Where the snow and ice have raked off all of this old rock, then the mountains are much sportier. Now, Bonanza Peak is frequently climbed because the glaciers have pretty well removed all the rotten rock around this point. And it's still a high point, and it is a sporty climb. You can see again now as we come down the tailings and the village over on the right. Now we are down and here at the level of the upper mine level. And one of the monuments left by the Stehekin of 3 years ago was our Vesper area up at the upper mine area. And this is a place on the tailings of the mine where you can look down the valley to Lake Chelan and beyond, or up the valley to Bonanza Peak, as you saw in the previous picture. And this we refer to as Inspiration Point. And it's hard to find a place in this area where the view is grander than it is at this particular site. Our genial host, Pastor Carol Hinderly, is always on hand to greet everyone who comes and on hand when they leave. Except from this point on, he, as you know, went down on the boat today. Boat, of course, leaves from the Stehekin dock about an hour before it does at the Holden dock, so that actually people are starting to leave from up there, and the bus goes down and makes connection with the Lady of the Lake at the Holden dock. And those of us who stay on beyond the time that the boat arrives and the bus brings the people down to the dock, can look back at the Lady of the Lake and wish all a bon voyage as they leave for either 25 Mile Creek or Chelan. And this then is the end of our journey for tonight, and I'll close at this point then. And if any of you have further questions you would like to ask, or any further information you would like about the trails or the hikes in this area, please contact the hike house or any of us who are here, and we will try and tell you what we can about the beautiful scenery and the grandeur of the area that lies within hiking distance from the Holden Village area. We think that God's creation was never any better shown anywhere, and you see it right here. Thank you all, and good night.